got scared. I got scared. I didn't think Craig was going to show up.
I got scared too. I was like, hey, Craig, get in here. And he didn't. But what's up, everybody? I'm back. It's me, Johnny. And with me, I've got DJ D.
Howdy.
Farmer. And for the first time, Tuna Fish Skywalker. Welcome in.
Oh, it's the T-O-O-N-A.
For those who don't know, Tuna is a member of a NAV, and it's Tuna, T-O-O-N-A, and because of him, I can never spell Tuna properly anymore. I always spell it that way, and then I'm like, wait a minute, is this right? And then people are like, that's not right. I'm like, ugh.
It's like, there's no O in Tuna.
What was it? You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
See, that's where you're wrong. I can't tune a piano either.
Neither can I. But you know, my electric keyboard doesn't need to be tuned. So there you go.
Yeah, because I'm a good musician. Off.
Because I never use it. Exactly. But this is. Oh, and I guess I should not forget. We also have Craig there, back there in the booth. What's up, Craig?
Skywalker.
Let's just dive in here. The Acolyte was a great show. That's it. Podcast over. All right. Good job, everybody.
Yeah, we did. Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. So we've confirmed that. We've already talked about that. What about Skeleton Crew? I haven't heard a thing about that.
You know, okay. Hold on. So Skeleton Crew has a huge problem, and this is a very Star Warsy problem. I feel like. Let me quick pull it up. The description of Skeleton Crew, when I looked at it on Disney Plus, I got really confused. And I actually texted David, and I felt like a boomer a little bit, texting him, asking him a question. Listen to this. Four ordinary kids search for their home planet after getting lost in the Star Wars galaxy. That's it. That's the description. You open Skeleton Crew. I've not seen anything about it. Four ordinary kids search for their home planet after getting lost in the Star Wars galaxy. What this sounds like to me.
Terrible description. Yeah.
What this sounds like to me is I'm like, are these like kids from Earth? Is Earth in Star Wars? Like,
honestly, it sounds like a fan film. Yeah, no. With that particular description, it sounds like somebody just posted it on the force.net or something.
And I just read that. I'm reading it off of Disney Plus right now. So, David, can you explain what this show Skeleton Crew is?
So, Skeleton Crew is a theme park ride. That's essentially what it is.
Oh, it's the Pirates of the Caribbean of Star Wars?
It basically is. Okay. Yes, it makes very sense, much man. So. Yeah. So, these four kids on this world, you know, isolated from the rest of the galaxy, not Earth. You know, on this futuristic, like, very Star Wars-y kind of world or whatever, end up, like, somehow, like, you know, like, stumbling into the rest of the galaxy and meet a bunch of people around that galaxy and then return home, theoretically.
It sounds like meets Star Wars or something, you know?
But it's done in such a way that, like, the characters are very intentionally, like, very distinctive, very memorable kind of characters or whatever. And the set pieces and the planets and the various events that happen are very, like, set piece, like, memorable things. It feels very, very theme park ride-esque. Like, it seems very much like this was made to be kind of like a Star Wars tour, you know, that, like, Disneyland had. Like, that kind of thing.
Here's the problem. Except David said memorable, like, five times, and the whole show is super forgettable because none of us have seen it, right?
Well,
except
David. I mean, I saw all of it, yeah. I think once you see it, like, there are a lot of things that'll stick with you. But, I mean, like, ultimately, I don't know whether that's the best of things. I think it's fun. I think it's kind of rompy. Like, I mean, like, I don't think it's bad. But I think it's very, very, like, it's almost, like, intentionally crafted to, like, be, like, popular. Like mainstream, like, kind of, like, you know, like.
Cutting edge, you know, like, in.
Not cutting edge per se, but, like, I mean, like, it's almost like, you know, those, like, the scripted, like, viral videos or whatever, where, like, they're meant to be, like, very, like, you know, they stick in your mind or whatever. It feels like this was, like, intentionally crafted to, like, be something that like has like these very distinctive like elements to it.
So that are so like the kind of they went out their other way. Media. They went out their way to make a big point of the of certain things that kind of take you out of the element almost. What it sounds like.
I would say like, almost like it gets close to it like multiple times, but it's also it's like you know the story isn't the greatest, but it's decent. Maybe not like the best.
Yeah, I have no desire to watch it based on your description. You know,
I'm letting you. It's. Well, I will say this. It's basically like Pirates of the Caribbean in space, kind of.
Except I mean, okay.
Which that, so also, that,
so
maybe,
the big problem there is we've talked about that. I said Pirates of the Caribbean is the first one is maybe the perfect movie. So now maybe I do need to watch it if it's Pirates of the Caribbean in space.
That's a good point. We just flipped it would be it, like flip the coin
if Pirates of the Caribbean was made for kids. I feel like
is Tatooine in it?
No, not that I remember anyway.
Is it Star Wars then? If there's no Tatooine, sorry.
It can be Star Wars as long as there's sand, right? There's probably sand somewhere.
Is Jakku in it?
No, it's not.
I don't know. Wow. Yeah. Doesn't sound like
I don't recall actually seeing any sand. Now that I think about it, so now I'm starting to wonder if maybe this was actually a Star Trek movie
and just not a fever dream.
Well, see, that's why
or
we,
fever dream,
that's why we brought Tuna in here because you know he's like the Star Trek expert. You know,
hey, I'm watching Voyager for like the fourth time now. It's great. Okay, I could watch a new Star Wars show, or I can go back and watch an old Star Trek show for the however many times. You know,
what's your favorite Star Trek?
Deep Space Nine, by far.
Interesting. By far, I didn't finish Deep Space Nine, but I really love Voyager. Voyager's so good.
Voyager's really good. Yeah.
Deep Space Nine had a lot of diversity. It covered a lot of actual social topics instead of just you know sci-fi. So it's a completely different type of Star Trek, I think, at least in my eyes. And so it was just more relatable, I guess.
I think I've seen a season, maybe two seasons of Deep Space Nine. Not that much, but I do know. So spoiler for Deep Space Nine, which is a super old TV show. I cannot get over what happened to Jadzia Dax. I can't do it. I was pretty upset about that.
Jadzia was pretty great.
Yeah, pretty upset about it. That being said, I want a quick. We can get back to Star Wars, but I want to make a comment that I've been playing Monster Hunter Wilds. And I realized something playing Monster Hunter Wilds, and this is kind of a critique of the whole Monster Hunter franchise. Nobody dies in these games.
Oh, just like these Star Wars.
People get attacked by these huge, crazy monsters, and there are no deaths. Everybody survives, and everyone gets away, and it's just ridiculous. Like,
There's something to be said about a good death, like a lead up to a good death and a good follow through without always reviving them. You paid the price that, you know, you had to make the sacrifice and, you know, they did something for the cause. But then when you bring them back or something else happens, it just undoes all that you build up. Like, I don't like when they do that, honestly.
The spoiler is that Jadzia dies, by the way, you guys. That's the sad part.
Star Trek. We got that.
And she stays dead.
That's one of my favorite things about Stranger Things, too, is, you know, I absolutely hate that the characters die because you fall in love with these characters, but just the emotion that brings, it's so good and bad all at the same time. I don't know how to explain that, though.
No, I totally agree.
It means something. If they die and they stay dead, it has meaning. It means something. No, I very much agree.
I just finished Invincible Season 3, and not having read the comics, I have no idea what's going to happen or whatever. It's actually strangely anxiety-like racking to not know, because that show does kill people, like, permanently, like, all the time. And it's like, whoa, wait a second. Like, what? You know? And so, like, I'm, like, actually on my nerves, like, watching the show. an animated show, even, you know, like, not sure, like, oh no, is this character going to die right here? Cause it could happen. Like, they don't pull punches sometimes. Like, it's just, yeah.
The, so I was watching, I have two young kids, so I watch a lot of kids' movies. Frozen 2 has this great opportunity that, like, Olaf dies in Frozen 2, and Elsa kind of dies in Frozen 2 also. But at the very end, right, like, they right the wrong, they destroy the dam. Elsa gets brought back to life by the spirit. She stops, like, the tsunami from destroying Arendelle, and she brings back Olaf, right? To which, I understand that it's a children's movie, so, like, all of that has to happen. But also, how hard-hitting would it have been for, like, Elsa died in the movie, right? And, you know, like, the cost of doing the right thing, right? That was, like, their whole thing is, like, doing the right thing no matter the cost. It's really easy when it turns out that everything that bad, like, that happened gets undone. But, again, I also understand it's a movie for children, so, like,
yeah, you know, I think that's just the trade-off there is, like, okay, for you know, for something that was more geared towards adults, you know, the realism would probably have, yeah, left her dead. But for the kids, you know, that's not good for them. You know, I mean, it is in a way, but at the same time, it's like, you want the happy ending, you know?
Right, exactly. Of course. Happy endings are nice. But... what were we? We were talking about about Star Wars before, and then we got on to Star Trek. And I really love to find out what people's favorite Star Trek is, because they're all pretty different, right? And also, I like to ask, because my favorite is Voyager, which I've never heard someone say that, including Tuna. I've never heard anyone say like Voyager.
I mean, I am watching it for the third or fourth time now, so it is pretty good. It's still up on top of my list, but not my favorite.
Have you watched Discovery? I only watched, I think, like half of one season of Discovery, and I didn't get into it because it was just half of one season.
After the first season, it gets much better. The first season with the Klingons not being Klingons just really turned me off from the first season a lot, though.
I think I stopped because they jumped into another, like, multiversal type thing, right? Like, with whatever their weird drive. And I just, at the time, felt like there was too much multiverse stuff happening. I was getting multiversed out. And that's why I stopped watching the show.
Understandable.
And I think there's not an easy way to watch it for me here in Japan now, actually.
I think all the Star Trek stuff is now on Paramount or whatever, and I don't know what that translates to outside of the U.S.
Now I'm remembering, hold on, I'm remembering that Netflix picked up, like, the Halo TV show stuff for certain countries.
Oh my gosh.
Not in Japan. I just checked. It's not in Japan. I still don't have a way to watch it.
I dislike that it's doing well on Netflix, actually.
I actually enjoyed it once I disassociated it with Halo and just turned it into a sci-fi series. It was great.
Well, to be fair, that's what I've always said about it, too. Like, I mean, that it's not, it's just the problem is that, like, it takes, like, things you know and then, like, completely changes them. And it's like, why? Like,
yeah, I mean, there's no point for the names of those characters at that point. They could have been anybody else's name. And we've talked about this a bunch of times. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan that it's doing well. In a sense that I want them to start over. You know, I just...
Arm wants them to do a reboot, not continuation.
No, so yeah, I really don't. Though. But, you know, they're doing the whole remake remake of Halo. And so...
But this is...
I guess you just have to... I'm just going to have to get to where I have to get over it. So, whatever.
But this is an interesting thing with streaming. And one thing I do appreciate about, like, Amazon Prime shows is... We were talking about this a little bit before the podcast started. You can still buy, like, TV shows and stuff, right? We were talking about Disney Plus and how The Acolyte, you know, it's hard for them to make money on stuff. But if it's not exclusive, you could still buy it. Like, right, remember back in the day, you would buy, like, the TV show box set of whatever TV show you really liked, right? Yeah. I still do that. I'll still buy shows I usually do it on iTunes personally. And watch shows that way. I thought you were talking about
the physical copy. That's,
Well, that people do that too. That was good. Yeah, stuff. You could buy like the DVD box set, but you can still buy like the box set, you know, of a show digitally as well. And that could be a way to support the show. But one problem is that a lot of those shows that are like exclusive to certain platforms, they don't sell them either.
I do.
Amazon
have to
say, does tend to.
I do have to say, I have all 6 seasons of Lost on DVD if you want to borrow them ever, Johnny.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
That's funny because I actually have all of Lost digitally. It went on sale and I bought it because I told David if it ever went on sale, I would buy it. And it did. It's 120 episodes. That's crazy. And they're so long.
Yep. Yeah, they're long. They're back in the season days, is long. Like, and the story, let me tell you, it crawls. Okay.
Crawls. No, see that, but that was how TV was back then. Like, we've been watching Smallville and the, you know, they're longer episodes and everything's drawn out and you have to wait until like mid of the season before things actually start moving as far as plot points.
I mean, and it's spoiler just for Lost season one thing happens. That's it. Like,
No. It's just a bunch of people just standing around talking.
Hundreds of questions.
By the time that thing happens here.
Answer, it's
great. But you know what? I saw this critique. I haven't seen Daredevil Born Again yet. Chiho has been watching. Once we finish Westworld, we're going to watch like the Netflix Marvel stuff, and then we'll eventually get to Daredevil Born Again. But one of the things that people said is they're like, oh, I'm worried because now that Disney's got it and it's got a different budget, right? Like, they were like, you know, it's going to be less two people in a room, right? Just talking. It's going to be like more action sequences. But that's actually what I liked about Daredevil on Netflix, is it was a lot of two guys in a room talking about what it means to be a hero. You know, that's kind of cool. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I don't know. From what I hear, like, I try to stay away from spoilers, but from what I hear, like, it's sticking relatively to like the same tone ish, which is good. I'm rewatching Daredevil actually right now. And I forgot how that plot kind of moves along a little bit slowly too, you know?
It moves like, very slowly.
Yeah. Especially season one.
Like, season one, yeah. Definitely. Especially season one. But do you guys buy TV shows? In the age of streaming, do you buy them? Do you guys buy movies still? Or no, do you just stream them on like Disney Plus?
If I buy them, it's got to be physical, usually, for the most part.
Crazy.
Usually I'll just stream them if they're available. Unless it's like something like we've gotten into a lot of like some of the older cartoons and things like that. Like we got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like the 80s series, some of the best ones, you know, stuff like that. And I'll get them for the kids. And so we'll have, you know, all, but it's the complete set, you know, it's not just right. The first or second season. It's the complete all 13 or whatnot seasons. You know, it's something crazy. I also did it for like Justice League. You know, I had to have those, you know, because and the Batman animated series I've had for years and years because, you know, my favorites. So the things that I really like kind of like grew up with is usually what I get, you know.
What do you use them or what do you buy them on? What's your thing of choice?
Well, I buy the physical copies.
Oh, do you have like DVDs of these?
Yes, I have the DVDs, the physical copies.
So they won't be playable in 5 years. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'll be able to play them.
He'll keep
Dude, no,
he'll keep...
I don't know what you're talking about because there's a resurgence of retro, okay? Everybody's buying vinyl. Everything's getting produced on vinyl as far as music goes.
But let me say huge. This. Can I say this? And this is like how it's going to be, and it's super annoying. So people are into vinyl. People are into cassettes now and how that sounds. So like in 20 years, you know, young people are going to be like, dude, you know what? It just sounds best as an MP3. Okay. I don't want to listen to anything lossless. MP3s on crappy, you know, iPods and Zunes and stuff.
Yeah, you it's just got Zoom that now. Classic sound.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Oh my God. It's like, it's 3 of the 4 people who ever owned a Zune are in this podcast. That's insane.
I have the 160 gig model, okay?
Yeah, so did I. I used to. Oh, I miss it.
The big brown one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That being said, I kind of would enjoy if they released, like, if Apple released an actual, like, iPod again that could connect to Wi-Fi and just use Apple Music, I'd be about it. I'm tired of streaming music from my phone and I'm, like, on Instagram or something and then the music pauses because, like, I accidentally touch a video and, like, it changes the audio, you know?
Or like getting interrupted by notifications or whatever sometimes, too, which, I mean, like, yeah, sure, I could, I guess, focus, but, like, then, like, you know, what if I miss a notification? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not about that. I'm not about it. But, yeah, that, I mean, you know, I've considered selling CDs farm for my music. I've thought about, like, you know, designing, like, a CD case and selling my albums, not just digitally, but, like, if people wanted to buy a CD. But I don't know. Yeah. I feel like nobody would do it. So I haven't
looked. No, I would do it.
Actually done
if
it.
If you did physical, I would get a set for
that's
sure.
So crazy.
I got a collection. I like physical, man.
I don't have a way to play it, but you know, you got to have it signed and everything, and I'm in.
I don't have a way to play. I think I have a CD player in my car still.
I mean, worst case, it doubles as like home defense, right? Like someone comes in, you just throw CDs in them.
Wow.
The only thing I collect physically, because I don't like to collect physical stuff because it takes up too much space, right? And I have a small Japanese house. The only thing I collect is the worst thing to collect, which is physical books.
That is the worst thing, too.
And I'm
moving.
Man,
that's the worst thing.
I'm moving, and I have so many books that I'm going to have to move, and it's just going to suck so bad.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, if there's one thing I've been tempted to get over the years, like, in terms of, like, physical stuff, it's books, because, like, it looks really nice on a bookshelf, even if I never, ever actually crack them open, because I read digitally most of the time.
No, I just read on my phone. Yeah. No, but having them there, it's a nice, if you have people come to your house, it's a great conversation starter, if you have it out like, where people can see it. It's fantastic.
It's just also a good reminder. Like, I don't know, I get warm, fuzzy feelings every time I see a book that I've read, like when I'm in the library or bookstore or whatever. I buy all my stuff digitally, including TV shows, like the few TV shows that I've bought, which I think I own 7. So, yeah.
I am more like, there was a while, like pre-Disney Plus, I was buying every Marvel movie, right, and all of those. I stopped doing that after No Way Home, like I've not bought Marvel movies since. And I tend to only buy movies now if they're not on streaming services. Like Moana 2, I own the first Moana movie. I won't buy Moana 2 because we just have Disney Plus. But I tend to do TV shows, like since watching like something on HBO, for example, is kind of a nightmare here. So I'll just buy it on iTunes when they sell it, kind of a deal. Or like Avatar The Last Airbender, like Nickelodeon, those kinds of things. Just because I live abroad, it can be hard to find the place that you can stream stuff, so I still tend to buy things quite a bit, and I like it. But then you run into these things like Tuna brought up. I would love to own all of the seasons of Stranger Things, but they don't sell it, right? Instead I have to pay for a Netflix subscription. Or I would love to own all the seasons of The Witcher, but they don't sell it. So that's kind of, I don't know, I go back and forth on it. I would rather they sell it, personally. So I also
somewhat ironically,
own the first two seasons of Wheel of Time, for example, because Amazon does sell them, which is nice.
Before Westworld was kicked off of HBO, you couldn't get every season of Westworld. But since it was kicked off of HBO Max or whatever, like now you can get every season. So that's good.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Why do they do that?
Warner Brothers is making all kinds of weird decisions. Okay.
maybe they'll get shut down. Maybe they'll close. That would be great. Like that studio last week that you guys talked about. There you go. Hey, man, listen, sometimes your company closes down, you know? That being said, one thing when I was editing the podcast last week that I realized is, you know, I never played Shadow of War. Never played that one.
Good.
Farm, did you play that one?
It's pretty good.
I have never got around to it. I've had it for the longest time. I just have never played it.
I think I may own it on multiple devices even. I think I have it on Xbox, and I might have it on Steam also.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's a great game. I really enjoyed Shadow of Mordor too, so I know I'm going to like it. I just never gotten around to it, as bad as that sounds.
Well, the thing is that David played Shadow of Mordor for so long, I didn't want to get into it, right? Because David was playing it for so long. Well, and then there's this interesting thing that I didn't realize. That game is actually super short. Like, it really was because he was 100%ing it, right? Yep. Like, yep. He was playing it so much. But the game, like, I beat it really quickly. Oh, look at that. I do own Shadow of War. So I've bought it on two platforms, and I've not played it. That's wild.
The weirdest thing about going back to Shadow of War modern day is how close you have to be to, like, the NPCs for them to pop in. Oh, it's like, kind of, like, almost a little bit jarring. Because, like, you'll see, like, kind of sort of the frame of, like, the set in the distance or whatever, and as you get closer to it, you, like, get really up close, and then finally they pop in, and it's like, oh, okay, all right, there they are. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'll still never play it. I don't know. We'll see.
Have you played any Lord of the Rings games, Tuna?
I have not. No, well, that's not true. I guess on, like, PS2 way back in the day, but
the good ones.
Not recently, you know.
Oh, man. Two Towers was my jam. I loved that.
Oh, man. Have you guys played Return to Moria? I think it's on sale right now on Steam. I think it's like 30% off. Y'all should get it. I was playing it a little bit the other day. I bought it. It's a lot of fun.
Just wait. Is this the Return to Moria that John, you were talking about? You just can't imagine it's a good game, right?
What? Like, no, me hating weeks, on something that I haven't played?
Months and months ago, I was like, that no. Return to Moria, that what? Game can't be good. Yeah, nobody's playing it.
Was I? Maybe I was talking about Lord of the Rings Online.
I don't know.
Return to Moria. No. I guess part of my trepidation of not wanting to play it is it's a survival game, right? And so, like, already I tend to get burnt out on those games. You know, they're fun for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm already feeling it. Like, I set up my first base and they want you to keep going. And I'm like, why would I keep going? I've got a great base right here. Right? I have everything I need right here. Look, it's home. Why should
that was my struggle with Ark a little bit too. Like, I would set up a really nice space that I would spend hours and hours on, and then it'd be like, okay, well, I mean, I guess I could start a new base, but why?
Well, that's my trouble with Minecraft. You know, we usually start playing a game, and then, you know, we have a really good thing going, and then somebody puts lava on somebody's house, and
yeah, who would
you
do know, that?
And then why? And then you're like, okay, all this work, and you're going to do this. Well, I'm going to do it back.
Return to Moria, I played it for a couple hours, I think, and it's a lot of fun. You guys should pick it up. We can play it together. I don't know
I
that
actually
it's
have already played it. Actually, I own it.
What? Tuna, yeah, do you own this game, Return to Moria? What? Everyone owns it except me.
Well,
I'm the last one who got it.
And Tuna needs to get it too.
I do need to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 30-something% off, and it's fun. I have fun. Guys, I'm just playing Monster Hunter Wilds. That's it. I was playing right before I got here. I was doing a hunt right before I got here. It's a problem.
Well, you're playing Avengers too, right? Not Avengers. I'm sorry. Rivals, right? Marvel Rivals.
Okay, actually, can we talk about this? Playing Marvel Rivals makes me miss Avengers. Isn't really? That funny? It makes it because, you know, I mean, Marvel Rivals, it's Overwatch, right? So, like, you have 3 or 4 moves or 5 or however many moves. That's it. Right. But Avengers, you know, you had combos and Avengers did this thing. So I've been playing as Thor, and in Avengers, you could pin people with Thor's hammer, which is like the ultimate strat, right? Like Thor in the MCU, he does that. What in like one movie when Loki, he knocks Loki down and he sets the hammer on Loki's chest. Right. And Loki can't get up. Like, what a great strat.
He does it. He does it more than that. He also did it on that beast. He put the hammer in the beast.
In the third movie. Yeah. In Ragnarok. What a great strat. He should be doing that more. Right. But in the game, you could do that. Right. You could throw your hammer and you could pin stuff to the wall and you would like punch stuff. And playing as Thor sometimes, I was like, man, that would be great. Because in Marvel Rivals, you just throw it and it just comes back to you. right? That's
when it. I was playing as Captain America in Rivals, I was like, man, I really kind of miss like having all the combos and stuff that I did in Avengers, just because like there was some cool stuff that you could do. But
yeah, it almost makes me want to re-download the game, but it's one of those things. I mean, it's kind of like Anthem. It's really hard for me to want to go back to it, just knowing that there's nothing really there.
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't really get it, because I go back and play Spyro, like the Reignited trilogy. I play that all the time. And, you know, that's just the same game. Like, I'm just playing a new save on the same game. But like, for some reason, on a game that I know was meant to be like a games as a service, knowing that they're not doing that, it makes me not want to play it. And I don't know what the psychology behind that is, but it makes me not want to do it.
Well, I'm assuming that means that you'll never play Star Wars Hunters then, because that's getting shut down in October.
What is Star Wars Hunters? What?
It was like a similar thing to Marvel Rivals, but it was like a mobile-based game that was Star Wars based.
Is it really getting shut down?
It's getting shut down in October.
Well, good. I guess we should install it so we can, you know, uninstall it.
Okay, well, here's the problem. I'm looking at this character here, and one of them is a Mandalorian, and they look cool. I'm kind of
over first.
I'm so kind of anti. Oh, it's on Nintendo Switch. I'd play it on Switch. I'm kind of anti mobile game. Personally, I don't know. Tuna, do you play any mobile games?
No, they're all pretty terrible, and I really absolutely hate the ads in every game.
Yeah, remember back when you just paid $2 for a game? Do you remember that?
I would absolutely love to get Plants vs. Zombies again, the original.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, stuff. Yeah.
You know what? I think apps are one of the reasons why we have games of service these days, you know? Because apps came into place, it was the whole, oh, it's free to play, and then... But you have all these ads and all this noise, and now
and
it's,
log in it's like in. Every day to get something new or whatever.
And now it's crept into our normal AAA video games titles now.
But it wasn't always that way though, too, because at the beginning it was like, oh, it's just like $2, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you could buy Angry Birds for $1 or for $2, and then they were like, oh, or hey, there's the free version, but there's ads.
Mm-hmm.
And then they
really bumped it up really quick after a while, though, too, once they realized how much they can make on it. They anticipated some, but I mean, it's kind of like the whole AI thing that took off a couple years back, you know, making your own cool photos with it and how they kept jacking up the price. They realized how much money they could make, and, you know, it was only going to be for a certain time, you know, before.
But do mobile ads work?
Has
anyone bought?
Don't understand.
Anyone here bought anything from a mobile ad?
Or even say an ad in general, right? You could even say like an ad on like YouTube or whatever, or like an ad on like Twitch.
I totally have. Then on like
yes, in that
Facebook,
sense, yes,
I totally have on Facebook and YouTube. But when it comes to a mobile app ad, no way.
Well, and you can get into that discussion of like, well, that's the power of advertising is that, you know, when you realize you need something and you're like, oh, I can get this kind, this product, I've heard of this product, that technically, while it would be like a long period, that would have been a successful advertisement. Right.
And to be fair, these advertisements were all already like, you know, coming off of my browsing, you know, it was different than actually an actual marketed thing inside this app that was trying to sell me. No, this was actually tailored to me because I was looking at music stuff, and then they brought it into that ad. And
that's even more specific. I was going to be like, I see Apple ads all the time. No, but like for the dumb games that are like, download this game on the App Store and like, you know, it's like, you solve the puzzle on how to not get the lava poured on you? You know what I'm talking about?
Who let their toddler play?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out who can be that bad at these games.
Yeah, like...
like, grow your army. You guys seen those ones.
Yeah.
Grow your army.
Or like the thing where you're walking and they have to like shoot at the things coming at them, and then the thing for some reason is super bad. No, I've never even like that, like clicked on one of those apps or anything like that. Personally, no, it's never worked for me. But surely it has to work because they keep taking the ads out, right? Surely it has to work on somebody because like it has continued, it persists. But I also miss that era of Square Enix does this thing on the iPad where you can just buy like an old Final Fantasy game for like $20 and you just have the game and that's it, you know? I miss that era of like, oh yeah, no worries about ads or anything else. I remember Nintendo was doing like Mario games, like Super Mario Run. I mean, that was years ago now. Have they abandoned it? Well, that and I feel like the kinds of games, right? Like it's all like TCG kind of stuff now, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really did enjoy Mario Run. That was one game that I actually did get. But that was actually a quality game. I like that game, honestly. And there's Sonic Dash. I also play at one time. I barely play anything on my phone these days, but those were the two go-tos.
Do you still play the Pokemon TCG? Are you still playing that?
I haven't had time. I barely play games except with like you guys.
You know the thing that bugs me even more than the ads and the in-app purchases and all that? I absolutely hate prestige systems because I don't want to play the same game 400 times to actually beat the game.
Oh my God. Yes. I played the OG Titanfall. I played the OG Titanfall and like I prestiged one time. And after that, I was like, I don't need to prestige anymore. Like, I don't like there's no prestige to prestiging. Like, who cares? Right? Like, I'm fine. Tuna, have you played any of the Monster Hunter games?
I haven't.
You would hate them. Because what they do. And like, I mean, Monster Hunter is fun. I really like to play it with my son, but I just hit the stage. So like when you play the main story and you beat it and you fight all these monsters, all of that is considered low rank. And so you work hard, what? You get all of that stuff. You fight the monsters multiple times to get all of the stuff you need from them to make the weapons and all of that. And then once you beat the game, they're like, all right, that was low rank. Now you can go and fight all of those monsters again, but they're harder. They have like a new attack pattern, and now they drop high rank stuff. Oh, and all of your awesome low rank armor sucks compared to high rank armor.
All of a sudden, it's terrible.
Yep, you get to play the game again. I just hit that in Monster Hunter Wilds.
I feel like that's very much, I don't know, like that's almost like that style of games MO. You know, it's like, oh, you got to do it again. And again, and just grind it out. I don't know.
I hate it too, Tuna. I do. But it's hard because, like, for at least for Monster Hunter, that's the game is just fighting monsters. So, like, you know, I'm like,
well, what else do you do?
Yeah, I guess I'm gonna go fight this monster again. I guess sucks.
I know for people who really like it, and I guess I would be like this for an FPS. If it's a game that I really like, I would play it all the way up. Like if it was like a Halo, you know, a game like that, I would continue to play it.
Well, I mean, so. I say that, but I was grinding armor sets in Destiny for like 10 years of my life. So,
yeah, there's nothing you guys really can say about that. So
other than I left and David's still there, you know,
look, I mean, like
I escaped there multiple times. David was my friend who would like enable me and get me back into, you know, David was my friend who was like, hey, you want another Destiny hit? This one's on me.
I'm just saying, Final Shape is a really good campaign. You know, I mean, like,
is it? It doesn't seem that good. You don't seem, is it?
Final Shape is fantastic, but now we're like a year past it, so.
Clips was playing it the other day. Clips was getting into it, so.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. No. There's still people doing it. We're not going back there. No, it's done.
There's three new dungeons that we haven't played.
Dude, there we go. Let's get back in. No. You know, the funny thing about this, Johnny would be the guy that says no up until he gets into it, and then he is hook, line, and sinker, and then
like way too into it. Yeah,
way too. That's why that's Johnny. That's Johnny.
That's why I'm resisting.
That's the problem with Destiny, though, too.
It's the problem with that. I told you guys I wasn't going to buy Monster Hunter until after I moved, and I've put in. I bought it before I moved, and I've put
in hours. Yeah, and it's like
you still haven't moved.
You're grinding. Even moved yet. Yeah.
I haven't even moved yet, and I put in, I think, 12 hours into the game or something. Yeah. Crazy.
I love that I got to play with Tuna like one time in Destiny. I appreciate that.
Yeah, he has that as an achievement on his wall. Play with Tuna in Destiny. Dude,
yeah.
It was one of the most adequate experiences I've ever had.
It was an experience.
Yeah. No, I'm not going back. That's it. I'm not going back. It's done.
The Destiny. Star Wars armor is cool. I mean,
yeah. Actually, I don't like that.
I don't like it either. Like, well, I don't like the way that they did it, like, because it's just straight ripoffs, like, as opposed to, like, inspired by. But, like, the way that you can, like, use shaders on it is neat. Like, that's neat. And the way that you can, like, you don't have to wear just the set, right? That's one thing that Destiny has always done well, is, like, the mix and match kind of thing. Yep. That's cool.
This is going to sound
like
weird.
The fact that it was,
you know,
just
what I would,
like,
be open to, D? I would be open to playing Destiny 3.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'd be curious to see what it is under Sony as opposed to Bungie. But, like, right. I'd definitely be open to it. I mean, we'll see.
Well, under Sony, probably it's, like, in development for 15 years, and then they just shut it down after investing $1 billion into it. Right.
Like, oh man. You know what? Saber Interactive announced this week, like, in a very, very heated thing, the CEO announced on the website formerly known as Twitter that all the games that we said that we're working on, we're still working on. We haven't canceled anything. So that means that Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic is...
Oh, good.
Mm.
They're still working on the remake? That's what's up. Before we close, I did want to ask you guys, is anyone getting anything on the Steam spring sale?
I didn't even notice that. Like, I got an email about it, but I haven't checked yet to see if anything's, like, particularly noteworthy. But now that I have this Strong Ally, let me tell you, and, like, I'm restraining myself from buying PC games, but it's not easy.
It's hard, right?
I don't want to know where. Then this was one of the studios that was kind of affected by various shakeups in the gaming industry. I want to know where that Detroit Become Human developer was working on a Star Wars game that was kind of in the same style. And I think that would be perfect for a Star Wars story.
That would be really cool for a Star Wars story. I agree.
Yeah. But, like, there's been some shakeups with, like, their parent studios. So, I mean, who knows? You know, one other thing, too, is that there's going to be a Star Wars game announced tomorrow, allegedly, on the 19th of April, at the Star Wars Celebration in Japan.
There's a what? What Star Wars Celebration? What?
Yeah, the Star Wars Celebration in Japan event is going on, or whatever.
I still haven't played Star Wars Outlaws, right? And I'm wondering if I should or not. Like, if it's worth picking up, or should it be, like, a wish list kind of... You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things for me of, like, it seemed to drop off for you guys pretty quick. And especially if I'm going to be buying the game, I don't know. Is it on Game Pass? Star Wars Outlaws? Does anyone know?
No, it's on Ubisoft's subscription thing, but it's not on Game Pass. I doubt it'll come to Game Pass for a while.
And it's not on the Ubisoft subscription thing that you get with Game Pass.
I don't know if it is now, but the season pass thing for it was actually on sale. So you just have to make sure you look for it when it gets back on sale. I don't know if
this doesn't make sense. Did this start?
Well, it is 50% off.
Is it 50? Wow.
Yeah.
You think it was actually a really good Star Wars game? I just there's so many games. It's just rough.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. And if I enjoyed it, then everybody else should enjoy it. You know, that's how that works.
Except for Johnny. Johnny hates things.
Well, that's expected. He hates it until he gets into it. Then he loves it with a passion that's probably greater.
Yeah. My default is negative. We talked about that. I'm neutral negative. Always. David's neutral positive. I'm neutral negative. If I feel neutral about it, it's negative.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, you know, someone's got to do it. Someone's got to hate. We can't have an all positive. So this is actually an interesting thing about, I'm going to bring it back. Star Trek Voyager. They found people didn't like it as much at first. And then they introduced Seven of Nine. And they were like, because the whole crew, there wasn't a lot of like conflict and tension with the crew, apparently. And so they, you know, added more of that. And I kind of get it. You know, hey, if we're all happy, then, you know, it's like, oh, this is boring. We're all just happy and liking stuff. And I'm like, no, this sucks. I hate it.
Yeah, people want to watch pain and suffering. They don't want to watch, you know, people having a good time. Because you want to know why? They can relate to the pain and suffering. They can't relate to the good time.
This is true. We relate to the struggle. The struggle of, hey, there's a Steam sale going on right now. And realistically, I should not buy anything because, you know, I'm moving. I need to, you know, we were talking about maybe buying a new couch. Those aren't cheap. I don't know if you guys knew that.
They are not. No.
And the cheap ones aren't good. Right. I got little kids. Right. The cheap ones, they're just going to rip that apart.
Yeah, they're going to. Yeah, it's like
okay,
burlap sack with staples on it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I really shouldn't, but and I bought Monster Hunter Wilds. I already bought that. So
okay, correcting myself. I did say April 19th. I meant April 19th. It's not actually announced until next month. But there is a new Star Wars game, a turn-based tactics experience from Respawn and Bit Reactor at Star Wars Celebration in Japan next month.
Wasn't there a Star Wars game announced? Am I going crazy here? Do you guys remember? Wasn't there a Star Wars game announced that like had like the moon as a logo or something? Was it called like Eclipse or something like that?
That was a studio, I think, who said that they were working on a Star Wars game, but they still haven't formally announced it, I think. But I know what you're talking about. Oh, wait, no, that was Eclipse. That was Star Wars Eclipse. That was, I think the thing you're thinking of is the Detroit Become Human game.
Oh, that's the one? Yeah. Oh, God, that's what I want to see. That's what I want to play. Let's go. Also, as a closing comment for me, I will get back to you guys. I own a lot of games. I just bought this game called Wander Stop, which is like where you own like a tea shop that people stop at and you can talk to them and stuff. I own a lot of these kinds of games, these like cozy, oh, you own a tea shop manager, potion craft manager, you know, like that kind of vibe. But I just keep going back and playing Monster Hunter and Marvel Rivals, you know. I just don't know that that cozy vibe is really me. I think it's what I aspire to be, and I buy the games, but then I don't ever play them. Right? I'm like, let me just kill something. I don't know. It's you guys were talking about game. Oh, my gosh. Really quick. Closing comment. You guys talked about Star Wars Galaxies last week while I wasn't here.
Yeah, well, we did it on purpose.
Yeah,
It's like, oh, I bet Johnny's going to hate this.
I loved that game, and David talked about like they reoriented it to be combat focused, and it was one of the big changes that was like the first nail in the coffin. Totally agree. Yeah. Because one of my favorite things about it, Farm, you would have loved it. When I played that game, I was just a musician. I leveled up my music skill. I could barely
straight
fight.
From Jabba's palace, you know, music.
Really? No, actually, my favorite cantina, I played in a cantina on Naboo in Feed, and I would play there and people would come. And so what would happen is you could give people like mental buffs and like you could heal like certain kinds of wounds and stuff. So like there were doctors that would like buff your physical attributes, but to buff like your character's mental attributes, you had to either watch like a dancer or a musician. And that's what I did in the game. So like I literally worked. Like it sounds boring, but like I would play and like people would tip me, you know, as I would give, like they would tell me what kind of buffs they wanted, and I would just hang out in the cantina with the other entertainers. That was like the class. And that's what we did. And it was so much fun. I really liked it. And it was also just kind of funny to like, I didn't fight, you know, like I could fight, but I was just pretty bad.
Exist in the universe and be chill, you know?
Yeah.
And not have to like blow things up.
And I, like, you know, had a house in the game and, like, decorated my house and would host parties and stuff like that. And I ended up switching to combat when, like, there was the big combat upgrade and stuff like that. You know, I did bounty hunting. I did smuggling and other stuff. But to be honest, my favorite was just playing as a musician in the game. It was so much fun.
Well, like you might be interested then, you might want to keep an eye on Star's Reach, which is from one of the designers of Galaxies in Ultima Online, who, like, says that this game is going to be a spiritual successor to those.
What is this? Star's it's a Kickstarter?
It's a Kickstarter. Well, it's a game that was, like, primarily funded through investors, and then also did a Kickstarter campaign, which was successful. And, yeah, they're working on it right now. Seems really cool. They've got alpha testing already going, and, seems really neat.
It looks cool. I'm looking at their Kickstarter now. Yeah, maybe I'll be interested. Maybe I'll play it. It'll be fun. You know? Anyway. So yeah, if anyone listening played Star Wars Galaxies, hit me up. We should talk about it, because I love that game. That was a lot of fun. But does anyone have any closing comments? Anyone else? Tuna, thank you for being here. Sorry that we didn't talk about Sea of Thieves. We used to talk about it all the time.
We did, like, almost every episode.
You can fish a lot in that game now. There's a whole new fishing season.
Is there?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, well, maybe I'll come back and start fishing.
Like, Elite Dangerous is like Sea of Thieves in space, you know? I mean,
that's true. No.
All right, well, you guys know what to do. Make sure you like and leave a good rating and do all that stuff. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Get out of here, Craig.